Hi, this is Chris. Welcome to Adventures in Odyssey. Today, December 7th, 1941, is a day that will live in infamy. Have you ever heard those words before? They were spoken by a president of the United States a long time ago. His name was Roosevelt, and the reason he said those words was because Japan had attacked and bombed Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. Your grandfather or grandmother or other older relatives probably remember the war, and President Roosevelt's words very well. And so does Connie's great-uncle Joe. He's going to recall where he was on that fateful day on today's Adventure in Odyssey. So don't go away. We're going to hear about one of the most incredible days in U.S. history right after this. Rathbone's Electric Palace has been doing quite well lately. So well, in fact, that Bart has had to order more products from his distributors. One is in the store with him right now. Let's listen in.
Let me see now. Where was I? Let's see. I guess we could use a few more of these talking calculator gizmos. Give me five.
Five? They're good Christmas gifts, you know. It'd be a shame for people to come to Rathbone's Electric Palace and find you've run out.
Oh, that is a good point, yeah. Better make it 10. What is your name again?
David Saburo.
Saburo, yeah, right. David. Sorry, I just learned what's-his-name's name and he left. You distributors go through employees fast.
He was promoted to district manager.
Oh, really? Well, good for him. So where were we now?
10 talking calculators.
Talking calculators. I don't know how you guys do it.
What do you mean?
You Japanese. I mean, no offense, but you look it, you see. But you speak English really pretty good.
I'm what used to be called an AJA, American of Japanese ancestry.
Then I guess today is, kind of embarrassing for you, huh? What with it being Pearl Harbor Day and all?
Embarrassing?
Yeah. I mean, you guys sneaking up on us like that. Pretty underhanded, but us Americans had the last word, didn't we?
I suppose you did. Now, about these miniature stereos...
Do you feel bad about it now? You know, when December 7th rolls around?
December 7th is very important to me, Mr. Rathbone. My father was at Pearl Harbor.
Oh, really? Really? Well, I wouldn't go around telling anybody.
Contrary, I'm quite proud of the fact.
That you definitely want to keep to yourself.
You don't understand.
I understand plenty, and I'm telling you, you don't want to say things like that, all right? Listen, we lost a lot of good men at Pearl Harbor, even guys from Odyssey. Just stop by the war memorial at McAllister Park and take a look at the names.
Maybe I'll do that.
Maybe you should. Then you'll think twice before you talk about being proud.
But Mr. Rathbone...
Do you mind? We better finish this order here. I got a lot of customers to take care of. I'm very busy.
Yes, sir. What?
Oh, Connie.
Sorry. I just saw you sitting here and I thought, are you all right?
I just got lost in some old memories.
Oh, well, I guess you can't help it sitting here next to the war memorial like this. They really fixed it up nice for Pearl Harbor Day, huh?
Well, they did. I'm glad people haven't forgotten about it.
You were there that morning, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know what the history books say about Pearl Harbor, Uncle Joe, but I'd love to hear what happened to you. I don't even know why you were there at all.
Well, after college, I went to Hawaii for a break. I got a job as a courier for the government offices in Honolulu.
A courier?
I delivered paperwork between the Department of State and the naval base at Pearl Harbor.
Oh.
Made a lot of friends at Pearl. That's how I met Sam. Did I ever mention Sam?
No, I don't think so.
He worked for Naval Intelligence as a translator, mostly helping a government office called Operation Magic. See, it was their job to intercept and break Japanese radio codes. Mm. In those days, we weren't on the best of terms with Japan. They got power hungry in the East just like Hitler did in Europe. Anyway, I ran a lot of errands to the intelligence office, and Sam and I became friends. It's funny.
Why?
Well, because Sam was Japanese.
Sam!
Over here, Joe. Where have you been?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got stuck at communications waiting for some captain to get off the phone. Did you order for me?
The usual.
Thanks. So, what do we do tonight? Violet and the kids are still visiting her sister on Maui, right?
Yes, but...
Then it's boys' night out.
I can't, Joe. That's why I'm in a hurry. I have to go back to the office.
Not again. Come on, Sam.
They're up to something. I know it.
I don't want to talk about this again, Sam. You're obsessed.
I am not... Whatever you mean.
Remember what you said, huh? You said the Japanese were going to attack on November 30th. Remember? Did it happen? No. It's December 6th, and the politicians are still haggling like always.
They're stalling. The Japanese are fiddling with time.
Playing for time. Get your slang straight. I don't get you. You're Japanese, for crying out loud. Why don't you show a little trust in your own people?
Because I'm Japanese. That is why. The leaders in Japan are hungry for a great empire. That's why my family moved here.
I've heard all this, Sam.
You say so, just like my boss says so. But you do not understand. Nobody does. Japan has become like Hitler's Germany, frenzied by the taste of power and blood. Do you really think they will let the United States stop them from getting what they want?
Yeah, I do. Have you looked at the fleet in Pearl Harbor lately? Those aren't toy boats out there. If Japan makes trouble, they'll have to deal with those boys.
Yes. Yes.
Sam, please, can't we go out and enjoy ourselves for once?
The pieces are all there, Joe. Japan's highest-ranking officers met at the Naval War College in Tokyo last September. Why?
Postgraduate classes in writing haikus? How should I know?
On November 30th, we intercepted a secret message that said, "East winds raining." Then our sources said they were burning papers at the Japanese embassy in Washington. What do you make of that?
New incentives for neatness.
6 days ago, another message. Climb Mount Nitaka. What does that mean, do you think?
Look, Sam, you're leading up to a favor. So just drop the history lesson and tell me what it is.
My boss will not listen. But you have friends over at headquarters. You can find some of the missing pieces.
They're your friends, too.
If I go there, they think something official is taking place. And they will want me to have clearance papers. You can ask off the link. And no one will care.
Off the cuff. You're obsessed. You know that Japanese attacks and, what was it last week? Japanese spies?
You laugh at me. But they are here. They have been watching me. But I have been watching them, too. Fuji's all-night coffee shop.
Oh, brother. Fuji's spy? Man is older than Buddha.
You will see.
Obsessed and paranoid.
Ask a few questions about Japanese ship movements, Joe. If we know where the Navy is, we can figure out what they are up to. That is all I ask. Will you go?
Yeah, I'll go. This is the last time, understand?
You are a good egghead, Joe.
Egg, Sam. Good egg. Some translator you turned out to be. Hi, Larry.
Oh, hiya, Joe. What are you doing here?
Not much. Where's Bill?
Down the hall. Why? Do you have delivery?
Nah. Hey, what's happening here? Are things, pretty quiet?
On a Saturday night? Are you kidding? It's like a graveyard.
Tell me something. Now, you guys handle all the reconnaissance reports, right?
Yeah.
Anything about the Japanese Navy? You know, odd ships here and there, fleet movement, that sort of thing?
Yeah.
I was wondering...
It's Sam again, isn't it? He's been needling me at lunch today. Just doesn't quit.
Oh, he's obsessed. So, how about it?
Okay, I'll tell you what I told him. Some ships left Japan throughout November, all taking different routes. Nothing unusual about that, all things considered.
Well, that's it? No concentration of ships anywhere near us?
Nope. There was a fleet moving towards the Gulf of Siam. Word is the Japanese might go for the East Indies or Singapore. Just tell Sam to relax, will you?
As if I haven't.
Okay, Larry, I got the...
Oh, hey, Joe.
Hi, Bill.
What are you doing here?
We're talking about the Japanese ship movements. You know anything about it?
Not much. Except we got a dispatch earlier about the Akagi.
The what?
The Akagi, the Japanese aircraft carrier we're trying to watch.
Seems to have disappeared.
What do you mean, disappeared?
Reconnaissance lost track of it on this side of the Kurile Islands. Bad weather or something. It's kind of funny.
Well, isn't anybody concerned?
I'm sure somebody is somewhere. I'm not. The Japanese aren't stupid enough to pull anything with us. Not with one aircraft carrier.
Who would have the latest on it?
Check communications.
Right. Thanks, guys.
See you later.
See ya.
The Akagi, huh?
Yeah. They figured you boys here in communications would be on top of it.
Well, they figured right, but there's nothing to be on top of. No sign of it. The only thing that might be vaguely related was this transmission from the SS Lure Line a little while ago.
What's that?
Commercial ship headed from San Francisco to Honolulu. Radio operator picked up some low-frequency signals northwest of here where they first lost track of the Akagi.
And?
And maybe those low-frequency signals are from the Akagi.
But they're low-frequency. Who would they be transmitting to out in the middle of nowhere?
Don't know. Another ship?
Or ships.
But this is a restricted area, Joe. I can't let you go any further.
Yeah, I know, Ensign. Buzz Sam and tell him I'm here. I need to talk to him.
Well, Sam's not here. He just took off. Got a message of some sort and just dashed out the door for headquarters. Nobody's seen him since.
It's not like Sam. Did anybody think that maybe the message was important or maybe that Sam...
Gone out for coffee?
He wouldn't leave like that to... Coffee. Good grief. I wonder if... I gotta get to Fuji's.
Oh, good. Bring me back some coffee, will you?
I'm not going for coffee.
Well, what else is there at Fuji's?
If Sam is right, trouble.
Adventures in Odyssey will continue right after this. And now, back to the adventure.
So Sam disappeared with some kind of message, and you thought he was at Fuji's all-night coffee shop. You mean kidnapped by Japanese spies?
I didn't want to believe it, but what else could I think? Sam was very conscientious. If he decoded an important message, it would have taken something very serious to keep him from delivering it to headquarters.
So what happened when you went to Fuji's?
It was closed.
Closed?
You heard me. Shop is closed. Go away.
It's an all-night coffee shop, Fuji. How could you be closed?
Oh, we are having a Japanese holiday. No, go away.
But Fuji!
Goodbye.
Fuji! Fuji! Something's not right here.
The situation was suspicious enough for me to have a look around. I waited a few minutes, then sneaked down a dark alley alongside of the shop where I saw a light through a cellar window. I knelt down to look. But got distracted when I heard noises around the corner at the back door. I slipped up quietly in time to see Fuji and another man close the trunk of a car there and get in. They spoke in Japanese, but I could tell from the tone that Fuji was very nervous and the other man was very angry. I ran back to my car and waited. Sure enough, they slowly drove down the alley and onto the main road. I followed them at a safe distance. I was sure they put Sam in that trunk. Dead or alive, I didn't know.
Think, Joe, think. You're just a government courier. What do you know about this spy stuff? You've got to get help. If you stop, you'll lose them. You got to pick your puzzles more carefully, Sam.
We drove to the north end of the island where they pulled onto the beach at Kahuku Point. I stopped farther down the highway, ran up to watch what they did. Fuji got out and opened the trunk while the other man took a flashlight to the edge of the beach and signaled out to the water. There was a small boat offshore that signaled back. I got the impression that they were going to go out and meet that boat. When Fuji pulled what appeared to be a limp body out of the trunk, I decided I better do something fast.
So what did you do?
First thing that came to mind, I panicked.
You're kidding.
No, I ran back to my car, stepped on the gas, and drove onto the beach like a maniac, hitting the horn and screaming at the top of my lungs.
Hey, stop! Well, then what did Fuji and the other man do?
The second man shot at me, shattering my windshield. Then they both hightailed it to the water and jumped into the waves, clothes and all. I guess in the darkness, they didn't know if I was one or a dozen cars. I stopped next to their car and realized my mistake.
What mistake?
It wasn't a body they were pulling out of the trunk. It was an inflatable raft.
What? But where was Sam? In the back seat?
No, he wasn't with him at all. I went on a wild goose chase. But I had to wonder why Fuji and his friend would be sneaking off to meet a boat at 4 o'clock in the morning like that. The question forced me to admit the thing I feared most.
Something's going to happen. I don't know what or when, but Sam is right. Something is going to happen.
I reached up to my head. It was pounding furiously, and I felt something wet sliding down the side of my face. Blood.
You were bleeding?
The bullet that shattered my windshield must have grazed the side of my head. And like the coward I am, I passed out right there on the beach. The sun was coming up when it came to. There in the same position on the sands when I passed out. The bleeding stopped. The wound wasn't very much to worry about. I sluggishly got up and drove to an Army radar installation not far from Kahuku Point. I figured I'd find a phone there.
Excuse me, sir. What can I do for you?
Look, Private, I'm Joe Finneman from the Department of State. I need to use your phone. You do have a phone, right?
Yeah, it's working today. Right there. Hey, are you all right?
Yeah, thanks. It's just it's a scratch. Who's this guy,
Communications,
George?
Please.
Department of State. At least that's what his ID says.
Communications.
Kevin? Joe Finneman.
Where are you?
Did you
hear?
Come over here.
Everybody's looking for
me.
Sam.
I know.
What? They say he stole some message he decoded.
They're nuts. Sam didn't steal anything. Look, Kevin, I think Sam was right about the Japanese. Things are happening.
You're telling me the Ward sunk a Japanese sub not far from here about 20 minutes ago.
What? Oh, good grief. Is the base on alert?
Nope. Captain won't believe it until he gets confirmation.
Confirmation? I'll give him confirmation.
Take it easy, Joe.
Well, you gotta get off the phone, pal.
But this is important.
Sorry, but we got something on the radar screens. I gotta call in.
The radar screens? Oh, thanks, Kevin.
Wait a minute.
Here you go. Where's your radar screen?
Over there. Lieutenant Tyler, please.
Hi,
Well, hello,
Private
Lieutenant.
Lockard.
What do you
Private
see?
Elliot here.
There on the screen, see? Looks like a swarm of aircraft.
They're coming.
Huh?
It's the Japanese!
But sir...
You're off your rocker.
Oh, all right. Well, thank you, sir. Sorry to bother you. Okay, shut it all down. Let's go home.
What about the blips?
The lieutenant says those are B-17s we're expecting from the mainland this morning.
No, he's wrong. Call him back. It's the Japanese!
Listen, Mr. Department of State, I don't know who you are or why you're here, but my boss said those are our own boys flying in from the mainland. Now, close it up, John. I want some breakfast.
You're making a big mistake!
Talk to my lieutenant. John...
All right, I'm coming.
I didn't know what to do. How could I make anyone believe the Japanese were coming at any minute? I drove back towards Honolulu as fast as I could, my mind just a-spinning.
Partly cloudy with clouds mostly over the mountains. Visibility good, wind north 10 knots.
And the world goes on. Oh, Sam, why didn't I listen? Why didn't any of us? Where in the world are you?
I thought about Sam for the rest of the trip. Where could he be? Then, for some reason, I remembered the light I saw in the cellar window at Fuji's coffee shop. What if Sam was there? I went back to check.
Sam? Are you down here? Sam? Sam! Sam, thank heaven! Hang on, let me take the gag off. Better?
Joe, look at you. Your head.
I cut myself shaving.
But, Joe.
Sit still while I get these ropes off. You all right? Did they rough you up?
A little.
Fuji and his muscle man got you as you came out of the intelligence building, right? Grabbed you after you got the message.
You know.
I guessed. What was the message, Sam?
Dutch intelligence, Joe. They intercepted a message from Tokyo to the Japanese ambassador in Bangkok.
Saying that Japan is going to attack today.
Yes. If you know, then Pearl Harbor is on alert. You told them.
No, Sam, I can't get anybody to listen.
Why are you here? You must go to Pearl and scream it in the streets if necessary.
I came to get you. Maybe if both of us scream, they'll listen.
Then why are we here chewing the flab? We must go. Go.
Chewing the fat, Sam.
We were driving towards Pearl Harbor when the first wave of Japanese planes flew over. They came like a hungry lion on a pasture of sleeping lambs.
Joe, look!
Look!
No! It can't be!
Not yet! Not yet!
Why are you stopping? We must go on!
Look! Look at what they're doing!
Joe!
It's too late! It's too late.
Get back in the car, Joe. We must go on. We can't help.
It's too late.
I'm ashamed to say that I collapsed right there in the dirt on the side of the road. I was in anguish. We were too late.
Joe, get in the car. We can help. We must help.
Oh, it's too late, Sam. Don't you see? Can't you hear?
But Sam was made of stronger stuff than me, and he wasn't ready to give up. Not yet. He jumped over into the driver's seat and pulled away.
Sam! No! Come back! They'll kill you! Sam! Oh, no! 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 Sam! Sam!
Oh, Uncle Joe, I'm sorry.
It was a long time ago.
Yeah, but it still must hurt a lot.
We lost over 2,000 men in that surprise attack.
It's no wonder we joined the war. You must hate the Japanese for what they did.
Hate the Japanese? No, I couldn't do that. Sam is Japanese and a good man, a very good man.
Pardon me.
Oh, hello.
I came to look at the war memorial, and I couldn't help overhearing your story.
Well, I didn't know I had an audience.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm glad I heard it. It was deeply moving to me.
Oh, well,
my father was at Pearl Harbor, you see, and...
Hey, Daniel, David, whatever. You left your briefcase in my shop.
Oh, thank you for bringing it to me.
Well, after the words we had back there, you know, I thought it'd be considerate. Oh, hi, Connie, Joe.
Hi, Mr. Rathbone.
You said your daddy was at Pearl Harbor?
Yes, actually.
Hold on, wait a minute. You're not starting that up again. What did I say? Didn't I warn you to be careful? I mean, Joe here was at Pearl Harbor, so you don't want to...
Bart, I think this gentleman is trying to say something.
All right, but I warned you.
My father was at Pearl Harbor, which has always been a matter of great pride to me, particularly after hearing your story today.
Why? Was your daddy a pilot?
No, my father worked for Naval Intelligence as a decoder. My father was Sam. Sam Saburo.
You're Davy?
I am.
Davy. This is Davy Saburo, Connie.
It's an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
What? No, wait. You're telling me your dad was on our side at Pearl Harbor?
But this man's father was one of the bravest men I ever knew. Gave his life serving our country.
Really?
Are you pressed for time, David? Can you come back to my house for a while? I want to hear all about your family.
Oh, of course. And I would love to hear more about my father.
Well, then why are we sitting here chewing the flab? Let's go. Come on, Connie. Bart, tell me about your mother, David.
Oh, she's in San Francisco
Mr. Rathbone,
now. She's
are you coming for lunch?
I got to get back to the shop, but thanks anyway, Connie. Maybe I'll go back and have a little crow sandwich or something. Oh, boy, have I ever learned.
I think Bart has learned a valuable lesson about not judging others by the way they look or by what nationality they are. And I'm glad Connie got to hear a first-hand account of history from her Uncle Joe. You know, your grandparents and older relatives have lived through some fascinating times and experiences. Tonight, instead of turning on the television or listening to the radio, why not sit down with them if you can and talk to them about their lives? I'm sure they'd be only too happy to share their insights about the great moments in history they lived through. And God will be happy too, because He likes it when we show that kind of respect for our elders. Adventures and Odyssey is a presentation of Focus on the Family. Today's program was written by Paul McCusker and directed by Phil Lawler. Our production engineer was Bob Luttrell and our executive producer, Chuck Bolte. And I'm Chris, hoping you'll join us again next time for more Adventures in Odyssey.